Too often people in the arts are thinking about how they're going to get funding into next year and whether they should be spending all of their allocation or whether they should apply for grants. It all presupposes that the work of creative people doesn't have monetary value. Yet research shows that people are happier, more balanced, less violent, more creative thinkers themselves with things like music, art, theatre, circus, or even good design in their lives. Deb Wilkes has started a company called Cluster Arts, where she helps people in the arts find the value in their creativity and helps them monetize it. I asked Deb why people don't start thinking of their work as something that's worth money.
People start developing products sometimes to meet a funding requirement. So if they've got a particular project that they might want to be working on, but it can only be funded for, you know, a specific place or a specific style, then they might adapt and change what they're originally going to do to meet the funding model. And it's actually quite crippling for some people anyway, you know. And you obviously know about the arts funding cuts over the last couple of years. Mm. So if arts companies don't start to think differently, then I don't think things are going to change in the near future and suddenly we're going to be awash in funding. My view is that's not going to happen.
Deb Wilkes, you've got a business yourself called Cluster Arts and you are making a business out of arts in Australia. That's a really hard thing to do, isn't it?
Yes. Some people might think we're a little bit crazy, but that's exactly right. So our business is focused on helping artists to see their work and the things that they do every day as a business.
Because traditionally people get something together and then they think about funding afterwards, don't they?
Yes, they do, yeah. And one of the things that happens, Rod, is that when arts businesses are set up, to actually be eligible for a lot of funding, you need to be a not-for-profit. So arts businesses are traditionally set up in a not-for-profit model. And I think that automatically takes away that sort of business or the business aspect to it, because if you want to get funding, you're going to have to be a not-for-profit. And is that the way the business was originally going to go, or did they do that just to get the funding? And I think that that's something that if business... Because I know my business, I'm not ever applying for funding, but I couldn't because we're a proprietary limited business. And so we're not eligible in so many funding pools anyway. But I think if we can start to think of it us and have a business model, then it will be much healthier for a lot of companies.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's kind of like the assumption is that anything to do with the arts is like an optional thing, a luxury thing, something that people don't necessarily need, but it might be nice to have. Mm. Whereas, in fact, in a well-balanced society, people need an outlet for that side of their personality or that side of their psyche, don't they?
They do. And you may be aware of the comments that the National Education Minister made around vocational training, that vocational arts training, they took away VET fee help because a lot of arts training projects were considered as lifestyle choices.
Yeah.
But I often say to people, imagine your life without the arts and take away all the music you listen to, take away the pictures off the wall, take away every single piece of art out of your life and see how dull and boring it would be and how very grey it would be. So we do need it. I think we innately know that, but we often, it's very easy to make a sweeping statement about, oh, the arts, you know, they're always just after funding. Because there actually are a number of arts companies in Australia that are looking at sustainability models, and that means fee-for-service, like any other business. And they're actually, you know, gradually getting there.
Yeah. You think about as Australians now have a reasonably good profile overseas in many countries.
Mm-hmm.
But really that profile's come about because often it's through people in the arts.
That's right. Where did they come from?
Yeah.
They didn't, like Kate Blanchett didn't start there. She's, you know, like where she is today. She had to get training and she had to be nurtured and supported along the way, and all artists all over the country are like that. And you're right, we do have a really high quality group of artists that represent Australia really well overseas. A lot of the artists that I work with are in the circus game, And I'm not sure if your listeners would be aware, but Brisbane is known as the number two circus hub outside of Montreal.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So it's the Briz de Soleil or something, isn't it?
Yeah, Briz Soleil. Well, it's contemporary circus, but we produce, Brisbane produces, compared to the rest of Australia, a lot of the really high quality contemporary work is coming out of Brisbane. But the artists are not in the country very much. They're overseas for large amounts of time through the year. And these guys are the ones that they're working really hard. They're getting good fees for their money in France or for their performances in France and the UK. And, you know, they're actually starting to put some money into the bank. So that's one good thing, and building the model around, well, actually, we're not going to be a poor artist. We want to own a home. We want to buy a car or anything that they might want to do. And they have a right to do that just as much as any other citizen in Australia.
Yeah, well, I mean, corporate events and things these days, people, you know, they've been through the motivational speaker phase, and now a lot of the corporate events, they have immersive type things, and circus performers do those sorts of things, don't they?
Exactly right, and that's the thing. We just need to let go of the sort of like the big floppy shoes and the red nose, because yeah, that circus is still around in Australia and doing well. But contemporary circus is more the theatre model, where it's surprising you, it's performance-based, it's beautiful music, it's beautiful bodies doing, you know, incredible things.
Mm.
But going back to what you said, finding it's monetizing those skills that artists have that people like, I don't have those, I'm more business-focused, so I can't juggle, and I can, but not very well, and I can't do tightwire. So monetizing the things that a circus artist or any artist has, for those of us that don't have those skills, I look on in awe at them. And how can they use those skills to earn money that can actually enhance other people's lives? Even bringing corporate people together who work in maybe a city office and an artist together, and I've seen it happen before with just discussing the way they look at their lives, and they're often quite different. And it's really interesting to see how the corporate might look at the circus artist and learn something, and vice versa. Just the way they approach their daily life and their daily job is so different. You know, like I look at the world a particular way, and they don't. So if we're talking about something, it can be, I might see it as, oh, you could actually make money out of that, and they look at me and go, how? I don't get that. Why would anyone want to pay for that? And you, as you just said, you know, creatives have got a lot to offer. It's not always easy to get artists to think about like that. Foreign.
Yeah.
So it's at their own pace, and they, you know, I can get quite excited about it because I can see the potential. But they may not. They may just be a little bit slower. So we do approach artists, and they know we're here. Inside the arts sort of like sector, people know we're here, and we're sort of building our business slowly, though we're very happy with how it's going. So there is definitely a need for this, especially at the moment.
Yeah, I think it sounds like a brilliant idea, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that would be interested in getting, you know, reinvigorating their business, I suppose, by getting someone in that can look at things differently. And that's what artists are. They do look at things differently.
Yes, exactly right. That's exactly right. And just give them that opportunity to I guess, express their feeling or that what they see. And it's really fantastic. I just love it. I love working with artists. I just think I've learned so much in my time. I wouldn't swap it for anything.
Yeah, Deb Wilts there, founder and director of Cluster Arts, a business that helps creative people monetize their art and talent.